Sometimes a new perspective is all that's needed to shift our way of thinking and bring us to a new state of mind. In this next hour, join author, medium, and intuitive life coach Kimberly Ray as she discusses spirituality interwoven through worldviews, cultural diversities, ideas, and experience. Share stories and embrace growth on Mindful Moments with Kimberly Ray as she offers tips and strategies for expanded awareness, welcomes callers for questions, and offers intuitive guidance from spirit and inspirational conversations.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are doing well on this Halloween Eve. I know I sure am. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be live with you guys once again. Last week, we did a pre-recorded show because I was in Sedona for the retreat, and I can't wait to tell you guys all about it. That'll be later in the show. First, as I mentioned, happy Halloween Eve. Is Halloween your thing? Do you celebrate? Do you party it up? Do you get all dressed up? I don't. It's not my thing. I'm going to be straight with you guys. It is not my thing. Trick-or-treating with the kids, that's one thing. But I kind of just set out a couple pumpkins and scarecrows, and, you know, that's about as far as I go. If it is your thing, I hope you have a blast. I hope you find the perfect costume, and I hope you have a blast with all your friends. No matter the age, no matter the party or location, I hope you have a great time. So now, there's a few things that we're going to cover with tonight's show, packed full of information and exciting updates. But before we get to all of that, for those of you listening that may not know who I am, I want to share a little bit about what I do, why I do it, maybe even a little bit on how I do it. As you heard, I am a medium, I'm an author, and an intuitive life coach. What does that mean? Medium. Straight up means I can communicate with spirit through signs, symbols, feelings, impressions, and gather information enough to offer messages to you, even validate the presence of your loved ones in spirit. Aside from that, I'm an author. My book, Inside Out, is at Barnes & Noble online, Amazon, and this is a book that helps to teach you a little bit about self-mastery. If it's your mind, your thoughts that you're struggling with, or your emotions that you're struggling with, take some time out, listen to how you feel, maybe pick up the book and see if it helps. This book will teach you how to master your mind, master your thoughts and your emotions so that you can truly feel empowered in the space of your own being, empowered in your own essence. Now, as I say this, I know a lot of us default to or even fall to the mind-identified state. When we do that, we have, in that mind-identified state, we sort of create attached emotions to those thoughts. We have a thought, it triggers an emotion, and then we lose all sense of self in that process. So this book just kind of teaches you how to get out of that, how to not allow your thoughts, your emotions to master you, to govern you, your ability to be happy, to feel and experience love and joy. Instead, if you can govern yourself in a place of love, stay grounded in love, keep rooted in your discernment, that then will keep you in a masterful place over the emotions. So that you don't feel like you're an emotional wreck. We've all been there. We've all been through it. So it's okay. Don't judge yourself when you're going through it. But when you're there, embrace love in that space. Love will neutralize anything less, anything lesser than it. It'll neutralize it. So Inside Out, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble, like I said. You can also find it on my website at kimbabcockonline.com. Is just a book that teaches you a journey to inner peace. You know, and also as a medium, I've been finding it seems that the mass collective or collective consciousness really mimics itself in many different sessions when I do private sessions. And it's interesting, these waves of questions that come in. like a trend. Sometimes it's these wave of questions like, what is my purpose, right? Everybody looking for their purpose in life, their mission, something to make them feel valuable. Or sometimes it's these wave of questions that are more related in the domestic, you know, aspect of life. Am I going to have a child? Am I going to get married? Am I going to sell my house? Am I going to buy a house? So it's interesting how that collective awareness shifts from time to time. And so tonight we're going to hopefully bring up some insight and share some insight from the recent retreat in Sedona that will maybe just silence or hush those questions that you hold, or silence the things that make you feel like you don't have the answers to those questions. Mind chatter, mind debris. So that's going to be, again, a little bit later in the show. One thing I do want to bring you guys in on is after the Sedona retreat, I just got back at 1 o'clock this morning, and it was incredible, you guys. It was absolutely incredible. We were able to experience everything from sound bathing with a native didgeridoo player to healing in a sweat lodge with a Native American. That was an incredible experience. We went through a shamanic cleanse and calibration ceremony with Ty, my good friend and Toltec shaman. So we had a really great variety of experiences. And in those experiences, led by different shamans, we had some really great insight that I want to share with you guys. And upon that, coming out of that, we kind of decided on some locations, some upcoming locations, you guys, for retreats. So we're looking at coming to Joshua Tree very soon, and also Mount Shasta, and plenty of other locations. So stay tuned on my website for that information. We're building the retreats, building the itineraries as fast as we can to hold space for all of you guys that want to come and have those experiences. Kind of get you to dive into a little bit of culture that might be a little bit different to you, but transformative nonetheless. So I'm going to recap a little bit on the Sedona retreat and then kind of go into some of these powerful pieces of information. But before I do that, I want to welcome Pam on the line from Vermont. She's been waiting as I jab my jaws. So Pam, are you with us?
I am. I am here. I came for, just like you. I want to hear more about the retreat. I was there. I'm so glad to connect this evening because in just 2 days since being at the retreat, I have experienced what I felt. Very different to when you learn something and then to experience what you learn. I believe that is the self-empowerment.
Oh,
I believe
wonderful.
I've been feeling that empowerment, which is why I wanted to call and say, Kim, this is incredible.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Do you want to share? Is it just an overall
feeling,
or did it happen?
Sure. No, it's a very specific thing. As everyone knows, the retreat was in Sedona. My father lives in Phoenix, and I haven't seen him for several years. And it just worked out divine timing that I could see him after this retreat. And what happened in the healing process, one of many healing processes we experienced over the retreat, was I learned that my challenge of a low self-esteem in my life was hanging on to my dad's pain and suffering. And that caused a low self-esteem. And I was able to receive healing from that. And when I saw him on Monday, I felt it. I felt a completely different relationship with him. It was amazing.
Oh, wow.
And I chalked that up to the healing that I experienced 2 days earlier. It was
so
a very immediate.
That's awesome. That's so powerful. One thing I want you to share, if you can articulate it, because I think I'm with you in what you feel here. And one thing I hope that you can articulate and share with the listeners is that to kind of like help people understand that there's nothing deeply significant that you had to do in order
oh.
to have that shift.
Exactly. I did nothing. That's the point. What
That's
I did.
That's exactly
I
where
did
healing
nothing.
Is first.
I did
because
nothing.
All too often,
yeah,
all too often we feel like we have to do in order to have, right? And we chase that
yes.
cycle. We do more thinking we can have more or we can gain more. And then when we sort of disarm that cycle, like, you know, we talked about for 3 days in a row at this retreat, that you share space instead of give and take. There's no give and take. If you give, you're really just depleting yourself. You're never going to be you're never going to be able to receive if you're giving, if you're standing in that place. But if you're standing
right.
in a place of sharing, it's the infinity pattern. You're already receiving. And that's what I feel like. I know you had that experience of going, okay, I'm here in this space and I can share this space. And that's what disarms the resistance and allows healing, you know, to take place or that
yes.
bond to come closer.
I felt 3 days of receiving and having received what I did on the heels of that, I was able to experience that receiving. I was validated. I had an immediate opportunity to validate, yes, I did receive. Yes, I did heal. I didn't have to question it. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to come back to Vermont or go back to France and think, gee, I wonder, you know. I hope I did. I think I did. But to experience it is incredible.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to share is that, you know, the first thing is that to receive and then to experience, oh, my gosh.
That's
Everyone
wonderful.
Needs to go to this
and,
retreat.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, for those listening that weren't there, you know, we did all kinds of different things from, you know, the river
mm-hmm.
ceremony to the medicine wheel. Mm-hmm. We did all kinds of different things. But can you share with the listeners the special thing that we did with you, that you asked of us and your courage? Like I would love to acknowledge just your bravery, your courage.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Kim. That was wonderful. I feel a tremendous amount of gratitude and I'm delighted to share. My sister Nancy and I realized that this retreat was being held at the anniversary of our mom's death, our first anniversary, in fact, which is, I feel, a particularly important one. And Mom loved Sedona, absolutely
oh,
loved
wow.
it.
I didn't
Very
know that.
Spiritual.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, she loved, and so we actually had talked with Mom about where she'd like to go, what we would do with her ashes. Nancy and I will be globetrotting with her ashes.
Oh.
Anyway, the first place right. and the most meaningful place for Mom was take me to Sedona. Mm-hmm. And we would have done this anyway, but it happened that this retreat was on her death date a year later. And that's what
wow.
brought us to the retreat. And we asked you if we could do this, if we could release Mom's ashes or do something over the course of that weekend, and you very generously and kindly offered a ceremony, a ritual at the river where we could do that, where we could share that with the group. That was incredibly meaningful for us.
Yeah,
it's in Sedona, it's everything.
Yes, and I think it was just incredibly meaningful for everybody there, because it wasn't just something between us and you and your sister, but mm-hmm. all of the guests from the retreat were able to be a part of that too. And that's why I say, you know, I honor and acknowledge your bravery and your courage in that, because it's such a sacred thing to be a part of. We went down to the river, you guys, just to kind of paint the picture, and we did an offering of oranges with chamomile and honey drizzled over them, and let them float down the river, and sunflowers to honor Oshun. If you haven't heard of Oshun, it kind of comes from Latin America, and is connected to the water, the flow of life. And so the ceremony was to rejuvenate our inner sweetness so that we stay sweet. The things that we say don't make us enemies, but rather make us friends. And so after we did this retreat, the ceremony, and offered these beautiful things floating down the river, after that, you know, we still had the fire lit in the chalice. And that's when Pam and Nancy allowed us all to be a part of spreading their mother's ashes in the river, and it was just incredible. It was such.
And can I add the dog part, Kim?
Yes, the dog has to be a part of it. We have to share about the dog.
I have to
of
add
course.
This because as mom's ashes were being released and still very much at the surface of the water, very visible and gently flowing down the river, a dog came dancing into the circle of people, into the river, beautiful dog. And honestly, my mom loves dogs more than people.
Sweet, you guys, because we spread her ashes, and you know, everybody said their thank yous to Pam and Nancy for allowing us to be a part of it. Pam and Nancy then thanked us, and then there was just a moment of silence, and the dog was just standing there, and then the dog yelped, you know, after we all said thank you. So it was like his way of pitching in. It was just magical.
The dog was very much a part of it, and for me, it felt very much an affirmation of my mother saying, thank you, I love you, I'm here. There's no greater symbol that my mother could have given of her presence than a dog.
It was such a beautiful dog, you know, and there was like 35 of us, I think, down there by the river. And we're all, you know, just talking, carrying on. We were playing the drums. And this dog was over by its owner, kind of down the creek a little bit. And once Pam and Nancy began to release the ashes into the river, that white dog made a beeline up for where the ashes were being released. And just
very quickly,
like needed to be present. It was really cool. And again, it's like the dog looked like a shepherd, but it was all white. It was such a beautiful dog. I don't know what kind of breed it was, but it was beautiful and definitely a part of the ceremony. It was really cool.
Absolutely. And that's what made it so beautiful. Here's this beautiful dog. My mom loves dogs so much. And for the dog to be present.
Thing.
Very powerful.
Well, we're going to take a break.
Anyway,
thank you so much for calling in, Pam.
Thanks, Kim.
On the other side of the break, we'll pick it up, guys. Hang tight.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Welcome back. Before the break, I was talking with Pam from Vermont. Her and her sister Nancy from France were at the retreat over the weekend in Sedona. And we were just kind of recapping some of the wonderful things that we were able to experience. And, you know, it's kind of cool when we have these retreats and really teach people the discernment, the place to ground yourself in order to experience manifestation. It's really cool when we see that turnaround so quickly like that. We had another example that actually during the retreat, you know, before the break, I was talking about the Oshun River ceremony. We set our intentions and cultivate sweetness in our lives so that we encounter, you know, things of grace and sweetness, love, companionship. And we set our intentions as we release the oranges into the river. And one of the guests set her intentions to meet somebody, to have a special someone in her life. And 3 hours later, I kid you not, 3 hours later, we're in Sedona, Arizona, she was just at Whole Foods, relaxing, sitting in their little patio area, having some dinner, and she met a gentleman and got his number, and go figure, they live a few blocks apart, and she's from L.A., and he was from L.A. too, so she got his number, they had a wonderful conversation, and they're going to connect and see where it goes. So it's really fun to see those manifestations turn around so quickly when we have these retreats and workshops and sort of teach as much as we can to help empower all of you guys. And that's what these retreats are all about. It was pretty magnificent. And like I was saying, I want to kind of go over some of the things that we did and what I was able to take away from it so that maybe you can take away some of these insights as well and use it, you know, where it applies in your life. So one of the experiences that we had was a sound bath. We did quite a few sound baths in different ways, and one of them was with Johnny Coyote. He's a local native there in Sedona, and he actually offered this magnificent experience of sound bath through the didgeridoo. So if you guys don't know what a didgeridoo is, look it up. It's probably the coolest sounding instrument I think I've ever heard. It's that really long tubular instrument that is, the sound is created with vibration, I believe. vibration and practice and skillful breath. That's all I can say after watching him. So we're out at Peace Park, you know, down in kind of like a gully, and the whole group is standing around. We have a fire going in the chalice, so smudge and incense is burning, and myself and Ty, the Toltec shaman, the two of us were beating on the drums to kind of drum out any resistance you might have been holding in your aura and your energy field. As you stood in front of Johnny Coyote playing the didgeridoo over you, he held that thing right up to the heart space, the throat chakra, the crown, the feet. It was magnificent. So many people had such different experiences with that. And, you know, a lot of people were experiencing purging through emotions or through all sorts of different physical symptoms, I guess, but not bad symptoms, just, you know, sometimes we shake when we readjust energetically. And simultaneously, though, integration was occurring, integration of your highest self. That's what this retreat is all about, to empower you and integrate your highest self into the now so that you don't feel like your spiritual self is a whole different world from your everyday life. And that's kind of what we build these retreats around, is to help you really feel empowered in that way. So we had these wonderful sound baths with the didgeridoo player, the smudging, and setting intentions, empowering you through your own intentions, and helping you, you know, as the guest, align with what felt right for you. So it was pretty incredible to watch everybody, because everybody was there for a different reason. And, you know, for myself and Ty, as we would kind of tune in to your energy, even Johnny, the didgeridoo player, he would take a moment before he started playing and just listen to your vibration, listen to your aura, and see what it was speaking, what it was asking for, sort of. And that's what would tell us, you know, where to play the drums. So, for example, if you're holding on to fear when it comes to money matters, sometimes that rests in your root chakra. So that's where I would feel like the hang-up with the energy, and I would go there with my drum and drum it out, meaning drum as close as I can to your root chakra so you can feel that vibration, and that vibration breaks up any old stagnant energy or attachments that you might have. And help you release consciously, subconsciously, you know, and simultaneously in those both of those places. So it was pretty powerful. So many different instruments were used. And I think, you know, one of the most powerful things was watching all of the guests realize the value of simplicity and kind of surrendering the need to have some complex explanation of what was happening, why it was happening, what it meant, and the validation for it. Watching everybody naturally receive without the need to understand was pretty powerful. And that's where the most significant transformations occurred. It was pretty incredible to watch. So after that, we did a lot of hiking in between as well, a lot of channeling spirit, as I do with gallery style, like you guys know. We also had this an opportunity to meet with Rogelio. He's a local there in Sedona, and he guided all of us as a group through a sweat lodge experience. Now, I know a lot of you guys are going, oh God, that sounds so scary because of what happened a few years ago out there with the sweat lodge experience. But Rogelio is trusted. He's an expert at what he does, and he offered us an incredible experience. So to set the stage for you, we get there, and everyone's looking around like, okay, where's the sweat lodge? Where's the sweat lodge, right? And we see all of these facilities that look like yurts, kind of like a tent, and they're all pretty small. We've got a group size of about 35 people, 32, something like that. And we're all looking around like, well, where's the sweat lodge? And then I guess we were expecting some large building because there was a large group. But when you think about it, think about what a sweat is. You know, it's a small space to contain the heat. And I happened to look over, and there it was, this tiny little yurt with a pipe coming out the top for the wood-burning stove that sat in the center. And so in order to get in, you have to crawl on your hands and knees because the ceiling is so low, and it can fit two circles of people, an inner circle and an outer circle. And down in the ground, in the middle, was a wood-burning stove. And that's where Rahelio would, you know, build the fire. And as he would, we would sing Native American chants with intention to cultivate, you know, our personal power or our inner grace, whatever it was. We would chant with him. And then we did this we went through four cycles to honor the four directions, which I thought was pretty cool. Each time he would pour water. At the end of the cycle, he would pour water over the rocks on the fire. And that's when it got intense. That's when the heat got really intense. And so he would have us look up to the sky. And as we did, the steam from the water would just pour down over you. It was really incredible. And then, of course, the air felt dense, so you could psych yourself out thinking you couldn't breathe when really you can. It's just hot and heavy in there. So it was really incredible. And I think one of the most powerful things I took away from this entire retreat was what Rahelio said when he was guiding us through that experience. Now, there were four doors, so that if at any time anybody felt claustrophobic or panicked, they could exit immediately pretty close by. The furthest door away would probably only be just a couple feet from no matter where you're sitting. So that was safe, you know, gave you a safe feeling to know that. But the most powerful thing I think I've ever heard, one of the most powerful things, was what Rahelio said when he was guiding us through this. Because, you know, you would start to hear people get a little bit nervous and panic a little bit because the temperature would just jump up. And he would say, your breath is your medicine. Your breath is your medicine. You don't need anything but your breath. And when he would remind us of this, when the heat would get really intense each time he would pour the water over the rocks, at the end of each cycle, he would remind us of this. Use your breath. Your breath is your medicine here. Don't believe that you can't breathe. It's just your mind playing tricks on you. And when we really practiced that, you know, when you had to practice that, it was so powerful because all of us were kind of, you know, your mind wants to play games on you and, you know, get all freaked out thinking, oh my gosh, it's hot in here. I can't do this. I can't stand this. I can't breathe. But when we used that, it was so grounding to think about that. Your breath is your medicine and your heart is your home. You don't belong anywhere else but your heart, and you don't need anything else but your breath. And when he shared that with us, there was just this calm that fell over the entire group. It was so powerful to be a part of. And even coming out of the Sweat Lodge experience, it was so powerful to be a part of because everybody was coming out going, oh my gosh, I didn't think I could do it. I was scared to death to do it, but we did it. You know, so everybody felt victorious in their experience, empowered, and definitely cleansed and renewed. I know I went in with a heavy heart over certain things, and I came out almost laughing at the things that were bothering me before I went in. It was that transformative. It was pretty incredible. So each time after each cycle, Rahelio would have us do a chant to open the doors. And so we would chant together as a group and open the doors, and that breath of fresh air would just come rushing in. So it was a powerful experience. And Rahelio is currently the only one in Sedona that is guiding sweats. So if you're looking for that experience, look him up or reach out to me, and I'll give you his information. It was a wonderful, powerful experience, and Rahelio does a wonderful job making you feel safe the entire time. So it was fantastic to see the group be a part of that. So after such wonderful experiences at this retreat, we decided that the new newsletter coming out on my website, actually the day after tomorrow, we are going to have a new list of cities and areas close to you of where we're going to host more of these retreats and get you engaged with your local culture, whatever that is. We're going to do the research. We're going to do the homework for you. We're going to hold the space for you and create the experience for you so that you can come in and have these transformative experiences yourself. So keep an eye out for that. It's just around the corner. On my website at kimbabcockonline.com, you'll be able to find more information. Myself and my good friend Ty is going to be kind of spearheading these different locations and doing this shamanic work with you guys. So exciting news, you guys. Now, back to that concept. I want to expand on this a little bit. Your breath is your medicine. Your heart is your home. And even before I jumped on the air here for the show, you know, like I was telling you about, I see these waves of themes of people booking private sessions and their questions. It seems there's two themes right now happening. Either a lot of people asking for, wanting to know, you know, through an intuitive, what is their life purpose or their mission here? The other one is looking for completion and wholeness in something outside of you, whether it's a partner or a job, and asking, you know, kind of asking for that timeline. When is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? So we're going to take a look at this stuff just on the other side of the break. Thank you, Om Times Radio. We'll pick it up on the other side, you guys, just a couple minutes.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. A sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A mindfulnessmusic.com.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Just before the break, I was sort of just giving a little recap on the Sedona event that we just had and some insight that came from that retreat that I wanted to share with you guys. But before I get back into that, I want to say thank you to Om Times Radio for holding space for shows like this and expansion, awareness, consciousness, and all things awakened. So thank you guys so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here. Now, to get back to it, I was kind of talking a little bit about your breath being your medicine. And I think if we all practice that a little bit more, what that actually means, you'll realize the life in your own breath, how healing that is. It's kind of like, you know, I had a private session earlier today, and something pretty powerful came through that I would like to share that I think a lot of you might be able to gain from. And it was something along the idea of like medicine, or I'm sorry, disease didn't manifest because of a lack of medicine. Right? So think about that for a minute. Disease doesn't manifest because of a lack of medicine. But the funny thing is, we believe we need that medicine to rid of the disease or to get better. Ultimately, when we take the medicine, listen, I'm not a doctor. There's my waiver. I'm not giving y'all medical advice or coaching you in one way or another when it comes to your medical lifestyle or your physical health and your lifestyle in that aspect. Do what you want. It's up to you. It's your call. But I will say this, that when we take medicines in the belief that we need it for health and wellness, we're really nourishing our illness. But if you're motivated to nourish your body and nourish your health and wellness, naturally, you'll nourish your health and wellness. But so what I'm trying to point out here is, you know, look at the polarity, look at the difference of what's motivating you. Are you motivated by illness or by wellness to take action for your health? If you're motivated by illness to take action for your health, you're merely just going to perpetuate it. If you're motivated by wellness to take care of your health, then you will perpetuate wellness. So I thought that was pretty interesting when that came through earlier, that no disease or illness ever manifested because of a lack of medicine. So if we know that, then, and also knowing that our breath is our medicine, if we allow it to be that simple, then we realize that, you know, a lot of things actually, we realize that we're in control of our health always, and that we can cultivate the highest health just by using our breath. There's a lot of ways to do this. I'm sure some of you guys have heard of different types of yoga that practice, that are centered around the breathing patterns. Rapid breathing to cultivate, you know, to amplify your energy, or slowing down your breath to induce stillness and calm. When you look at how powerful your breath is, you will realize then that it has life. And then in that, if you allow it to be that simple without overthinking it or questioning it, then you'll receive what your breath has to offer. Your breath is the flow of life. That's the life force energy in you. When you can receive it, you know, simply and naturally, then you receive what it has to offer, which is life, which is health and wellness. But if you're one of those people that says, give me the explanation, tell me why, tell me how, then the manifestation of health and wellness is going to be much slower. It'll be slowed down by all those questions, because those questions are resistance. So I encourage you guys to do different things with your breath. Practice mindfulness with your breath. Now, on your in-breath, practice receiving. See yourself receiving all the good things that you want for yourself, right? Or all the abundance that you want for yourself. And it's okay to want, you know, abundance for yourself in the space of sharing. On your out-breath, see yourself sharing that abundance and wellness. When you see yourself sharing, you connect to your core. You go into your heart and connect through your core. If you see yourself giving, you're still grounded in the ego. Many of us jump on that cycle of, I have to give in order to receive. And I'm sure we can all vouch for the fact that that doesn't work. You can give all day long. And just because you give doesn't mean you're going to receive. that which you gave. You know what I mean? You could give love, you could give compassion and support. It doesn't mean you're going to get it back. And then, of course, we're all pissed off because we don't get it back. But look at what's happening. You're depleting yourself by giving and giving. But when you share, it's different. When you come from a place of sharing, you're not coming from a place of depleting or draining yourself. When you're connected to your inner essence, you can share until the cows come home and you'll never run tired. You'll never run dry because what happens is it's a simultaneous exchange. Sharing is the infinity pattern. For those of you that may resonate with symbols, it's the infinity pattern. When you are connected through sharing, when you're connected to your inner heart, your inner essence, then you're sharing. It's no longer called giving, but it's sharing. So you're sharing space, sharing abundance, you know, joy. But oftentimes we fight against ourselves in that. We think it's this give and take mechanism we want back to sort of validate our giving. That, you know, when we do that, we really just run ourselves dry. We really just run ourselves ragged in that process. And then we get more angry and upset. And then we begin to fight against everything when we fight against ourselves in that process. And then we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. Because when we fight with ourselves, we fight with everything, right? We have that inner dialogue, nothing's working. Everything doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense, you know. And then in turn, feel like everything's falling apart. So practice that in and out breath. See it as the most powerful, clean medicine for yourself, that in and out breath in the infinity pattern, breathing in wellness and abundance and sharing it simultaneously on the out breath. As you do, imagine whatever it is that you want. If it's higher health, receive it through your in breath. By the way, if you have a hard time receiving, which I know a lot of you do, it will be nearly impossible to manifest anything if you can't receive. Even if it's receiving from yourself, like doing good things for yourself, or receiving from others or from the universe, if you have a hard time receiving because you feel not worthy or whatever the case, you will find that it's merely impossible to manifest. For those of you that make it look easy to manifest, you know, those are the type of people that get their eyes set on something, they connect to it, they share in that space, and they manifest it quickly because they don't look back. There's no question involved. So if you're questioning, you know, why you're worthy of receiving, then you're going to slow down the manifestation of that which you're trying to manifest and receive. Now, as I said, your breath is your medicine and your heart is your home. So you know that feeling of safety you get or comfort when you're home? You can relax in your space. You can be yourself freely, completely. Practice that anywhere and everywhere you go, connected in your heart to your heart. When you do, you'll feel that sense of freedom, you know, because we allow ourselves to be vulnerable when we're home, right? We can be in our cozy sweats and be just totally vulnerable without makeup, without our hair done, without being dressed properly or whatever. We allow ourselves to be vulnerable. So that's what it's like to exist in that heart-centered awareness, that vulnerability, that freedom to be yourself in any given moment and what that means to you. When you can uphold that and carry that with you no matter where you go, you stay connected to your inner grace, your heart-centered awareness, and that is the space of being able to share your essence. When you're there and you share your essence, then you're no longer disturbed by people that seem to suck the life out of you or negative people that drain you or whatever it is. When you are in that inner space, you're sharing space, because if you are around those negative people and you're in that essence, what's going to happen is the higher vibration is going to neutralize the lower vibration. It's law. It's scientific law. It's given. So you will naturally, when you're enlightened and existing in that enlightened state, you'll enlighten those around you. to some degree, and you will no longer feel disturbed by others' emotions, their actions, their words, whatever. You'll know and be able to uphold your inner grace, your inner essence. In that, you'll realize, you'll kind of hush that inner voice too, that inner dialogue of having all these questions of, you know, believing that you don't have the answers. You know, when am I going to find love? When am I going to sell my house or whatever? When you connect to that inner essence, you'll know that that timeline has no significance, has no value. Because you're fractal beings, you're not linear. If you summon yourself to time, you'll experience everything in a linear motion and you'll feel trapped. You'll feel like time's always fleeting, you're always up against the clock, nothing ever comes soon enough. But when you expand into your higher self, you'll realize your fractal being, yourself in a fractal motion, I guess, if you want to call it that, or awareness. And in that, all of those questions just hush. They just settle, knowing that time isn't significant anymore. Time isn't important to your questions. What's most important is that connection to your essence, because there you can manifest whatever you want. If you're not there, it's much harder to be creative. It's much harder to create that life that you want for yourself. So practice it with your breath. Your breath is your medicine. Your breath is your manifestation. Use your breath as your mantra. Forget the words. Your breath as your mantra. Breathe in with intention and breathe out with intention. Share that space. Now, when I say share that space, it doesn't mean you have to go telling everybody about it and, you know, doing it simultaneously with them. But instead, being so free in yourself that that freedom is the essence of sharing. Being so aligned with yourself that nothing disturbs you in your essence. That's sharing your space. That's sharing your essence. Because ultimately, everything's connected. Everything's one. We really, truly are in the flow of sharing. It's only when we ask questions that we introduce resistance. We make things complicated. So I hope this helps you guys to kind of slow down and not put so much weight on all these questions that your mind is, you know, demanding answers to. We all have questions. We all want to know things because we feel like it's, you know, safe there if we know things. But it's a false sense of security, knowing the future or what's to come, right? It's a false sense of security. And then ultimately what happens is you are robbed of an authentic experience if you're told what's coming up. Everything then is precalculated. Your free will has been crossed, and now you're reshaping the way you live your life because of time. So I encourage you to go back to your breath. Every time, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel anxious, even tired, go back to your breath. Let the life in your breath rejuvenate you. Let it dissolve all of your questions, knowing that they're not really that important. All of the answers, knowing that they're not really that important. And just like Shep said a few weeks back, be where your eyes are. Be with your breath. Your home is your heart. Don't create home in all of these external things, all of these answers outside of yourself, because that sense of security and essence will be the most fleeting thing that you experience. You'll be contributing to your own pain and suffering, and you'll continually be chasing joy or bliss or whatever. Instead, let your breath be your medicine, let your heart be your home, and be where your eyes are. Those three things, I think, will take you through any challenges you face. Anything you come up against, go back into your breath. Go back into your skin. Be where your eyes are. And take it easy on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. I hope that this show just kind of reminds you of that and helps you to take some of the weight off of your questions or even the places where there's uncertainty. That's okay. Let there be uncertainty, because in that there's opportunity. If everything's precalculated, there's no opportunity there. There's no free space. So what fun is that? So I thank you guys so much for being a part of this show. And again, for those of you interested in the retreats, we're going to be putting up many, many more. We're going to look at places like Sarasota, Florida, Mount Shasta, Joshua Tree, California, possibly over in Virginia Beach, maybe even overseas, Italy, or even down in Costa Rica. So we're considering all of these different locations, and we want to hear from you guys. We want to hear your suggestions, what locations you would like to experience one of these retreats. I invite you to come along with us and have these experiences where you can lay down everything that displaces you from yourself. For more information, check out my website at Kim Babcock Online. Good night, you guys. Good night. Hope you all had a wonderful evening. And I'll see you right here next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.